Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trundle Bad Tales Radio, and once again, we're here with a rolling report. This is part two from SMET in 2011. So, I spent the whole day here yesterday in the SMET, and I get to spend the whole day here in the SMET again, and I'm really having a great time, and I'm sure wishing that everybody was here. One thing that I wanted to mention yesterday that I forgot, so I wanted to do it first thing off the top today, was how much the town has grown up in the last few years. For instance, it used to be that the Deluxe Inn, which is where I'm staying this particular trip, was on the very, very edge of town. It was right up against the start of Silver Lake. Now, looking out, I can see another street out my window further east of town with houses on both sides. So development really seems to be moving along here in DeSmet, and the town's getting bigger. Yesterday morning, after we did the show, I headed on out to the cemetery. They were doing a cemetery walk. It had originally been scheduled for 11 and 1, but the heat was such the last two weekends that they went ahead and moved it to 9. We walked around in the cemetery and saw a lot of the tombstones of various people that were there that were mentioned in the Laura books and were real people, of course, with Ma and Pa's and Carrie and Grace and Mary and baby boy Wilder Stones. And afterwards, Nancy Cleveland went with me, and afterwards we walked over to the little memorial park. Now, I knew there was a little memorial park there, and I'd driven by it, but I'd never taken the time to walk around it. And they had created this beautiful little artificial waterfall on the back of it. You can't see from the road at all. It really, it's a meditation garden, but it is really lovely. And I would highly recommend next time that you're in DeSmet that you stop the car at the top of the hill, just past the old windmill, and get out of your car and walk around it. It really is very lovely, and I was glad I got a chance to do that. So that was something I hadn't been able to do before. So after that, and chatting a while, I came back into town, grabbed a subway quick, and came back to the hotel to change, got all done up, and headed out to the homestead. And I was presenting in West Bethany Church, which is a former Lutheran church. Its congregation had, basically dissipated a long time ago, except that they were having a once-a-year reunion event, and it was out in the country, and it was unlocked. And they eventually just decided that was not a good situation, and so they were hoping the Ingalls Homestead would take it. It took them a number of years to get it moved and then get it to the point where it could be opened again. But it's open now, it's air-conditioned, it's got a full basement under it, and it really is a nice facility for a group. So I'm glad that the Ingalls Homestead both has that and a storm shelter now, which I think were two things that were really missing from the homestead, a place for groups and a storm shelter. So I'm really glad to say that they had it. Now, like Iowa, June was an extremely wet month here. In fact, even more so than here, than in Iowa. And it's just all the pothole lakes are full. There's standing on the corner, as you drive into the cemetery and you make the first left, standing on that corner, or even standing at the Ingalls Graves and looking back towards that corner, you can see there is water standing like it's a lake in what is normally a dry field. So there is still some flooding, but for the most part, there hasn't been a lot of rain in July. We're almost through July, so the grass really, in a lot of spots, has turned kind of yellow, and I think they were at a point where they maybe could use a little rain, especially with all the hot heat that was sort of baking things out. This weekend it's been a little better. It's been mostly overcast, and I really didn't think it was too hot. And there was a couple little showers yesterday. We thought maybe it was going to rain out the pageant, but it didn't. And it looks like it's a little overcast today, but hopefully it will likewise not end up in rain. I think they may try and do these events or some kind of speaker again during the pageant. If they do, I think maybe they're going to go for a later time. The first program wasn't half the people that there was in the second. And I think that is, and I never really thought about this before, but I think there are people who don't realize that you could spend entire days in this mat and just show up a couple hours before the pageant and then are looking for something to do, because there were a lot more people wandering around and at the 4 o'clock program than there was at the 1 o'clock program. So I think if they do it again, they may just schedule those a little later. But if you plan on coming to the DeSmet pageant next year, make sure you check and find out if they are having a speaker there, because I think it adds something to be able to talk to someone about Laura kind of in-depth and long-term. Another thing that I got to do this time that I hadn't before is, you'll remember, in By the Shores of Silver Lake, Grace wanders off and is found in this, which Laura describes, the fairy ring of violets. And it's actually an old buffalo wallow. And I did not realize that it had been located. I think it was even listed on a couple maps. I'm trying to remember. I think that's true. I can't say that 100%. But anyway, they have it marked now, and there is a lovely little depression in the ground there. I mean, it could well be a buffalo wallow. I was just looking at it. It doesn't look like Laura describes, because it looks like that ground's been under cultivation probably for about 100 years, and in the course of that, the steep sides that Laura describes have been sort of, corrupted. It's more of a gentle sloping bowl now than the straight sides Laura describes. But, you can really tell that was more than likely the place. It's close enough to the location of where Pa and Ma's house was, and it really is this divot in the earth that you definitely could not see a kid in if they were sitting in the bottom of it. And it was kind of interesting, because you enter it from the pageant grounds, and I was walking down there, and this guy passed me on a golf cart, and I just kept going, I should know him. Who is that? And I figured out it was Orville Van Diest, who was the director. And I stopped him and asked him, and he said, yes, that's who he was. And I guess he thought it was kind of funny. He said, well, I recognized his picture from the DeSmet News. And, I don't think he's used to being recognized. But he really has made a big difference in the quality of the pageant. So I was very glad I could thank him in person. Now, the pageant grounds itself, there is a collection of ag equipment to one side. There was a local old farm equipment collector who wanted to get out of the collection because he was getting older, and the town of DeSmet purchased his collection. There was a big debate whether they should or not, and they've put it out on the pageant grounds, and there's plows, there's manure spreaders, there's wire check planters, there's just a wide variety of agricultural equipment. I'd say about half of it very nicely restored, and half of it, if you watch the American Picker show, what they call farm fresh. Yeah, it's annoying when they say it too. But not restored, I mean. And that is definitely a nice little thing to look at too. And if you walk by them, the red gate that leads out into where the buffalo wallow is just beyond the farm equipment. They've also left a couple swatches of prairie grass uncut within the pageant grounds, and they said that so if you want to go walking through the prairie grass just like Laura, you can do that before the show. They had the wagon rides, which were still being conducted the same way. If you haven't been there, they have the slickest system for getting you on and off the wagons. They've got two sets of stairs on wheels, and when a wagon pulls up, they push the stairs on them on either side. One side, everybody gets off. The other side, everybody gets on. The only thing my only complaint with the whole operation, which is really beautifully done, beautifully organized, and I love how they have the steps that you roll away, because one of the problems with wagon rides when you're doing it for the public is sooner or later some idiot is going to try and jump off while the wagon is moving, and that is horrible for liability, and a lot of town people who aren't used to riding on a wagon like that don't time it properly, and it's extremely easy to fall if you don't know what you're doing. Or if the horses jolt at the wrong time and you don't accommodate for that. So I think it's brilliant to have this on and off system. Now, the part I don't like is there aren't any seats in the wagons, so you're just standing there. Now, kids, I think it's fine, but most adults, the wagon side comes up, well, at least on me, it hits about mid-thigh, which is not a great balance point. So not one of my favorite activities, because it's a little nerve-wracking for an adult to be standing on it, I think, but great for the kids. And even if you don't plan on going, grab a ticket when you come in the gate, because you will most likely see some kid you could give your ticket to or be hit up by a friend's kid or something. So make sure you get one of those tickets and let them have the extra ride if they want it. They also have a photo board, they call it, with the faces cut out. You can put your face in and be the Ingalls family. I love those. And this last time, I had supper on the grounds, which was another new experience for me because I like to be able to talk about it. And I had hot dogs and a couple of hot dogs and popcorn. They were giving out pageant posters, I think, because they probably had some left over since this is the last weekend. And I spilled some popcorn because it was knocked over as I was off wandering around. But it was, I think, really good. And I think that's a definite thing to do. It was about something like $1.50 for per hot dog. And I think the popcorn was $1, something close to that anyway. So it's really reasonable prices. And it goes, everything they make goes to supporting the pageant ground. And they put it back in for better lights, better sound equipment. I hope someday better seating, because still those boards and the cement blocks, they were boards and cement blocks this year, and man, I think a lot of people found out exactly what Laura was talking about with the bucking wagon seat when they were riding on the board behind Pa into town. The new time seems to be working out for the pageant. The grounds open at 6 and the pageant at 8, which means the pageant starts an hour earlier and blessedly ends an hour earlier. They said this has worked well for a lot for the kids, and that they used to have a lot of people who, with young kids, would leave at intermission time, and that really isn't a problem anymore. It really is a nice thing, and as they don't do much with the pyrotechnics, it works to do it earlier. And I was going to mention a couple other things about the pageant, but we're starting to get down to the end of my I will probably go ahead and do another update sometime tomorrow, but I may end up and do it when I'm a little further down the road and just stop someplace if I can find someplace with wireless. So keep an eye out for that, and I'll have more to report on the pageant and on the stuff I do around DeSmet today. And I decided to this trip do the pageant back-to-back nights, which is another thing I haven't done before, so I can see how much it changes from night to night for performance. And so I'm going to be doing that again tonight, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. And join me for more Treasure Fair Tales.
Thank you.